Sisters, we have a nice program ahead of us. How we can be as Christians adorning the divine teaching. That is the theme that Brother Frank O'Hamming is going to talk with us about. So how true Christians adorn divine teaching. Brother O'Hamming, please.
When you hear the word adornment, what comes to your mind? I'm very sure the word is beauty. So then what is adornment? Let's try to define it for the sake of our discussion. Simply put, it refers to that which is put to decorate, beautify, embellish, add luster, to make the person himself or herself, or that which he represents, pleasing or attractive. And you can bear with me that when you look at it around this morning, we see how beautiful our brothers and sisters are well dressed up. Sometimes compared to the work that the way we dress to work. So as humans, we may adorn nature of how it has been adorned by Jehovah. Can we see our first two pictures, please? So how beautiful this flower is. Sometimes we look at winter, we don't see that. But in summer, it looks exciting. We go to length to sometimes visit Gatineau Park to see that beautiful flower is there. And many people travel all over to just come and see it. Can we see the next picture, please? Again, see how beautiful Jehovah has adorned the earth for us. We all like it. See, not one color, but what? Different colors. And they look what? Very, very beautiful. Brothers and sisters, the scriptures do not condemn physical adornment, such as we see here in the picture, but it highly recommends spiritual adornment. And that's what we're going to focus on. But before that, how does Jehovah see adornment? Or how is Jehovah described in the scriptures? Jehovah himself is described as clothed in light and surrounded by beauty. For example, in Revelation chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, we're not going to read it. It describes Jehovah's appearance and says, Jehovah's appearance is described as that of a jasper stone, sardius stone, and so many adjectives to describe Jehovah. Therefore, he himself has richly ornamented his creation with color, variety of them, and majestic magnificence. You bear with me that that's how Jehovah is described. What about some of the examples in Bible times when you talk about adornment? In Bible times, and we all bear with me because we have seen that also, when it comes to wedding, the bridegroom and the bride adorn themselves for the marriage feast. In fact, in preparation for the marriage feast, the bride will deck herself with the finest clothing and the best of ornamental things that she possesses to present herself before the bridegroom. Haven't you all witnessed that before? And you see your bride, and what do you say? Wow. What about Jerusalem? How did Jehovah describe Jerusalem? Jehovah speaks to Jerusalem figuratively, describing her as a girl whom he decked with fine, costly clothing and jewelry. But unfortunately, Jerusalem used her beauty and adornment unfaithfully as a prostitute. Let's cast our minds back to the Temple of Solomon. The Temple of Solomon and the buildings that Solomon built were beautifully adorned, so much so that the Queen of Sheba had to travel to see the beauty of Solomon's buildings. The same way Herod's temple was magnificently built and decorated. However, brothers and sisters, adornment can be deceptive. We talked about how even Jerusalem used his beauty as a prostitute. Can we take picture 3, please? You see how it is. So sometimes you look at the apple from the outside. It looks beautiful. But when you turn to the end, what happens? It's a rotten apple. And so sometimes beauty can be deceptive because you may look at it from only one side. And it's important that we look at it from a more holistic perspective. Otherwise, you pick the apple, and if you don't take care, by the time you realize, bites the rotten part. And that is not what we want. And in fact, in Bible times, Jehovah used Hosea to condemn Israel for adorning herself for the wrong purpose of attracting what he called passionate lovers and engaging false worship. And so we have to be careful in terms of how we look at beauty. Now, brothers and sisters, how does Jehovah delight in adorning his creations? All of Jehovah's spiritual creations are described as having similar holy adornment, reflecting Jehovah's glory, as well as his heavenly organization of angelic sons as radiantly beautiful. In fact, the New Jerusalem, is described as a bride adorned for her husband. Therefore, Jehovah's creation therefore abound with what? Beauty. We can look around and see it, as we saw in the first two pictures. What about when we look at the stars, the skies? These are all beautifully done. In fact, when we look closer at the earth, it reveals how Jehovah has made it so beautiful for our benefit. There are a number of things that we can see. Can we see pictures, some of the pictures, to see how Jehovah had adorned the earth? Can we see picture 4? How many of us have had the opportunity to visit the Swiss Alps? This picture is from the Swiss Alps. And those people who have visited there give a vivid description of how beautiful that place is. So much so that even in summer, you find snow cap on the mountains. Now let's come home. What about the mountains in BC? Can we see the next picture? What about this? Those who have been visited BC, I'm sure a lot of have seen that. I only saw it briefly when I had to fly to BC in an aircraft, so I couldn't see it very well, but it looks so beautiful. You see, Jehovah has made all this for our own benefit. The next picture, please. What about waterfalls? When we visit places and we see her waterfalls, look how beautiful it is. Not one color, but different colors of the falls. And what about the last picture, please? How many of us are animal lovers? When you see this animal, what do you think? Look how beautiful Jehovah has made this for us. So much so that we admire these things. Therefore, Jehovah's earthly creations are beautifully adorned, and what? They give glory to Jehovah. Humans, as we are, and as we started talking about it, look at the way we dressed up. Therefore, we also have the ability to adorn the environment that we live in. So we get up in the summer, we clean our gardens, we make gardens, we plant beautiful plants. So we can also have that physical adornment. But Jehovah has also embedded in us spiritual adornment. Let's look at how Jehovah did that. Jehovah started this first human couple off from a very pleasant surroundings, a beautiful paradise. Can we see the picture, please? This is how Jehovah did. Jehovah wanted us to see beauty. So what did he do? He put Adam and Eve in a very beautiful garden with all the animals. You can see the pictures. How we long to see this garden again. And Adam and Eve were asked to cultivate this garden so that we all can benefit from Jehovah's creation. So Jehovah gave them that ability to extend that garden all over the earth. But what happened? Unfortunately, sin marred the beauty of God's human creation. So much so that in Noah's time, the world was described as full of being ruined. In fact, the earth became so ruined before the flood. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, we're not going to read it. It says that the earth became ruined in the sight of the true God. And when God looked upon the earth and it was ruined, all flesh had ruined its way on earth. It is sad that such a beautiful place has been ruined, and it continues to be ruined today. As the ruin of the earth continues, even in our day. As a result, just as in Noah's day, Jehovah has earmarked for destruction those ruling the earth. Please turn your Bibles to Genesis, Revelation chapter 11. And let's see what Jehovah says. Revelation chapter 11, we're going to read verse 18, the latter part of verse 18. Let's read the whole verse. It says, but the nations, here Jehovah is describing what is going to happen and talks about what the nations are going to do. It says, but the nations became wrathful and your own wrath came and the appointed time came for the dead to be judged and to reward your slaves, the prophets and the holy ones and those fearing your name, the small and great. And look at the latter part. What is Jehovah going to do with the rest of the people? To bring to ruin those ruining the earth. That Jehovah see his purpose being ruined, and he is going to bring retribution for those who are actually ruining the earth. In spite of this, we know that even though imperfect, we humans have the capacity to adorn things as we dress up. Now, let's look at two ways. We talk about physical adornment, and we go to the length. Sometimes we go to shopping just to buy, for example, the brothers, just to buy one suit. You go to different stores and you try on different suits. We spend a lot of money looking even at shoes that we're going to buy. Our sisters, the same. They can spend hours just trying on dresses to look beautiful. But as we said, there's the second part that we are interested, which is the spiritual adornment. Now, why is spiritual adornment important? Because when humans work at spiritual adornment, Jehovah is delighted. Please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. And let's see what Jehovah says there. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 3 and 4. And here again, we're talking about adornment, the kind of spiritual adornment that Jehovah wants us to have. So what did Apostle Peter inspire to write? Do not let your adornment be external. Our dressing, grooming, the braiding of hair, and the wearing of gold ornaments, or fine clothing. But verse 4, but let it be the secret person of the heart in the incorruptible adornment of the quiet and mild spirit, which is of great value in the eyes of God. Brothers, do you see that? That inner adornment, the spiritual adornment, says that it's of great value of Jehovah. And that is what Jehovah is looking for. But how then can we adorn ourselves spiritually? There are a number of ways that we can personally do that. God's teaching is beautiful, like a precious stone, metal. When we live according to Jehovah's teaching, we are in fact polishing it, and we are polishing ourselves to bring glory and value in the eyes of Jehovah. We make Jehovah's teaching shine. Or as one Bible translation puts it, add lust to it. Divine teaching is therefore made attractive by the way we adorn it. In fact, the Apostle Paul directed Titus to remind Christians in Crete for the many ways they could adorn divine teaching. We can personally benefit from what Apostle Paul instructed Titus by adorning what divine teaching. So we're going to look at a couple of ways. For example, let's consider our food ministry. And this is very important, knowing that we just had an announcement that we're going back to some form of public witnessing. In our food ministry, we try to improve the effectiveness by what presenting the kingdom message in a way that it appeals to honest-hearted ones. Be it whether on the phone, the way we talk. Sometimes we are encouraged to even smile at the back of the phone, although the person can't see us. When we do that, it adorns the kind of teaching. It allows people to accept what we are saying. What about our literature? Now that we're going back to the public witnessing, or if the organization Jehovah allows us to go door to door, do we crumble our literature? Or is it made so beautiful that people see how we present the literature? What about our appearance? So while we engage in witnessing work at meetings, we also adorn the teaching based on our appearance, because people can separate us from the world. And by our appearance, we adorn divine teaching. Our appearance itself is a witness. In fact, many people have been expressed by our cleanness and tidiness, and this has moved them to listen to our message concerning Jehovah's wonderful purposes for righteous new heavens and a cleansed new earth. So our dressing depicts what Jehovah is going to do in the future. What about our congregation meetings? Just as like this morning, we can adorn Jehovah's teachings through our meeting attendance. We know that many of my brothers and sisters face different difficulties, adversities. We know, for example, how our brothers are being treated in Russia, for example. What about those in remote parts of Africa and other parts of the world? They strive to attend meetings. In our own congregation, we have brothers and sisters who faithfully attend meetings, no matter what, despite sicknesses, despite weaknesses in the body. And we see that beautiful this morning. Our faithful attendance at our meetings, despite adversity, is beautiful to hold, to behold. Please, let's look at what Psalms 133 talks about this. Psalm 133. And we're going to look at verse 1. What meeting attendance? He said, look how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. Isn't that what we see here? You enter the kingdom hall in the morning, Sunday morning, every brother and sister is smiling and wants to welcome you, wants to talk to you, wants to calm you down when you have to give the talk. You have elderly sisters who come to you to talk, to calm you down. You'll be fine. Doesn't that give us the edge? When you are nervous in terms of giving a talk, we appreciate that very much. So at meetings also, we should be neatly and appropriately dressed as we are. We also adorn divine teaching by taking pride in keeping our kingdom halls clean and in good order. How many times do we get these reminders? When people walk in on the street here, see how clean our kingdom hall is, we bring praise to Jehovah. So brothers and sisters, do we take part in adorning Jehovah's divine teaching by being part of cleaning our kingdom halls, not only the inside, but outside, so that it adorns the divine teaching? Let's look at the third point, our secular job and at school. How can we adorn divine teaching at that place? As Christians, we adorn divine teaching by being industrious and well-mannered, whether at work or at school. Let me give you a good example from Venezuela. A management company in Caracas addressed a letter to the elders and ministerial servants of a nearby congregation of Jehovah's Witnesses. In it, they wrote, "We have received very good references about the people in your religion regarding their sense of responsibility and honesty. It is for this reason that we now approach you. Because of our present lack of personnel, we are in urgent need of two persons to fill the following positions, one to be a driver and the other to be our warehouse manager. We would very much appreciate any information you could provide with regard to someone in your congregation or in a nearby one. We really do not desire to hire non-witness personnel. Please let us know even if there's no one available, since we will wait for your response before making any decision." After reading the letter under the kingdom hall door, they put it under the hall. One of the congregation elders visited the company and asked a few questions. Then the owner had dealings with witnesses for 15 years and then recalled that he had no serious problem with his witness employees. He referred to them as serious, responsible, honest, and diligent workers. Then he added, and I'm quoting him, "I know that you do not tolerate evildoers, and you disfellowship them. That shows that your congregation does not want to become an accomplice with such ones." How beautiful it is. And recently, there was a politician in Ghana who asked a fellow who has, I think he said, 40 shops. And he asked him, "How are you able to manage 40 shops?" He said, "Because I employ Jehovah's Witnesses." Well, because they are honest. Isn't that beautiful? That we use attitude to adorn divine teaching. What about our teaching towards, our view towards non-witnesses? We do not want to speak disparagingly to those who do not share our beliefs. A superior attitude will not attract others to worship Jehovah, brothers and sisters. that we have to have a balanced view of the scriptures about how we deal with one non-witnesses. In fact, in Titus chapter 2, 3 verse 2, Paul again instructed Titus to remind the Christians, a creed that we talked about, to speak injuriously of no one and not to be belligerent, to be reasonable, exhibiting all mildness toward all men. Notice that, brothers and sisters, that Christians are not to speak injuriously to no one, not even non-Christians. So we can learn from this admonition. So therefore, it will be unscriptural for us to use disparaging terms when referring to those who do not share our beliefs. What about our physical cleanness? Cleanness is an identifying mark of a true Christian. It identifies God's people as a group and it should be evident in each of us individually. Our appearance at home, is our home very attractive, for example? So we look forward that we make sure that we are cleaning our homes. In fact, the Bible uses the word cleaning 400 times and it relates to the clean, pure wash, for example. And God's laws specifically instructed the Israelites to encourage what? Physical cleanliness and good sanitary habits. In fact, the scripture at Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, we're not going to read it. It says, love your neighbor. That principle motivates us as Christians to keep ourselves and our homes clean because we don't want our home to stand out, especially in our neighborhood. However, we're not supposed to spend lavish on that house, but we can make it what? Modest and very clean. What about our cars? That it looks like a rickety cars, or we clean our cars nicely so that it brings adornment to Jehovah's teachings. The same way our clothing, we need to keep up to make it clean so that by doing that, our appearance will glorify Jehovah. The faithful slave talks about dress and grooming. We have highlighted so many. How is our grooming? When we compare ourselves to those outside, do we stand differently? And does our dress and grooming attract people to Jehovah's organization to come and listen to Jehovah and worship Jehovah? Brothers and sisters, we are encouraged to pay particular attention about the way we dress and our grooming, because when we do that, it adorns divine teaching. What about entertainment? The word entertainment is debased. Do we follow the world's entertainment or we choose our entertainment carefully? Our proper choice of entertainment will demonstrate our desire to adorn what? Divine teaching. If we decide to choose bad entertainment, what do you think will happen? It will reflect badly on Jehovah, because the world will see us. And what is the first thing that they will say? Oh, they said what? They are Jehovah's Witnesses. You see the Jehovah's name in there? So we are encouraged to be careful in terms of our choice of entertainment. In the world, it's about me, 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 I can do whatever. But from our perspective, we want to pay attention to what Jehovah is teaching us. It is not about we. It is not about I. It is not about you, but it's about Jehovah. And so what do we do to bring glory to Jehovah's name? That in all these areas, true Christians adorn divine teaching and make the kingdom message they bear more attractive to others. What is the results when we do all these things? Brothers and sisters, have you ever visited a craftsman's workshop? Let's take, for example, a polisher of gemstones, maybe diamonds, because I mean, we all love what? Diamonds. Can we see the next picture, please? Imagine walking down here and somebody offers you this stone for $10. Brothers and sisters, what do you think you say? You think the person is crazy. And the first thing you say is that, well, you want to dupe me. It's only $10. Probably $10 now doesn't even buy McDonald's. But you look at this and said, this guy is crazy. I can pick what? A stone from, and why are you selling it to me $10? But you see, a polisher will know the value of that stone. But how does he know the value of that stone? the polisher takes time to work on the stone. Can we see the next picture, please? So this is a rough diamond that we see. But now we see the polisher. He's going to take his time to work on that stone. It may take him hours, probably days. We don't know how long it takes them. He saw value in that stone. But you see, that stone alone, when you look at it from the outside, is valueless. But by working on it, he will turn that stone from, let's say, the $10 to a very beautiful diamond. Can we see the next picture, please? You see how it's turned? Brothers and sisters, what do you think is the value of this diamond? Anybody can guess? When I was looking at the picture, some of this cost $100,000. But you see, the person gave what? The stone for $10. Why? Because we did not see the value. Or when the person saw the gem person, what did he do? He worked on it. Therefore, we are encouraged to work on ourselves, to look at our shortcomings. And when we do that, we turn our shortcomings into a precious jewel like this. And when we have a precious jewel like this, it attracts people to Jehovah. See, likewise, many are attracted to divine teaching because they see the beauty reflected in the life of Jehovah's worshipers. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, please. And let's see what Apostle Peter encourages us to do. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to read verse 12, please. And how we can adorn the divine teaching. What we need to do as we work towards the divine teaching. Just like the workmanship, the person was working on it. Here, Apostle Peter says, maintain your conduct, fine among the nations, so that when they accuse you of being wrongdoers, they may be eyewitnesses of your fine works. And as a result, glorify God in the day of his inspection. Maintain your fine conduct. How do we maintain our fine conduct? Like the polisher, he keeps what? Polishing until he gets what? The final products. We know we're not going to get the final products right now, but even though the little that we can do based on our conduct, bring adorned divine teaching and bring what? Glory to Jehovah. In fact, there are modern day examples of faithful Christians who have adorned the teachings of God. At our conventions, how do people see us? We haven't been to convention for a while, but let's cast our minds back. How do people view our dressing? The way we behave. Let's read this example for a police officer. This police officer has been in the force for 21 years. And he said, he was asked to attend one of our convention areas. He said, I am impressed with the discipline of your people. They are outstanding. They pick up trash without anyone asking them, and they are orderly. Your convention is well organized. Can you compare to outside concerts, for example? He added, when your people see us, they smile. So you see why we are encouraged even to smile when we are using the phone? That is a good sign, he continues. We look for that. That is a sign of friendliness and nothing to hide. And we also notice how the children are with their parents and are well disciplined. He concludes, believe me, I am impressed. It is enjoyable being assigned here. And the police officer, they say the same thing when there's a Justin Bieber's concert somewhere. You will see the difference, please. So many who visit Bethel also do that. You know that Bethel, the number of non-witnesses who go there to see what Jehovah's Witnesses are doing. And they are impressed of what they see. So brothers and sisters, Jehovah is delighted when he sees us working hard like that workman to add lust to his teaching. Let's read our last scripture, please, from Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. Verse 11. Another familiar scripture. But let's look at the principle and what Jehovah is telling us. Be wise, my son, daughter. And why? And make my heart rejoice. And why is it important? The latter part says, so that I can make a reply to him who taunts me. Is Jehovah not being taunted by Satan? Now, when we are done divine teaching, we give Jehovah the opportunity to make a reply to Satan. He is pleased, Jehovah is pleased, then to assign us work of turning the world into a global paradise. Indeed, brothers and sisters, those who are done divine teaching now will be amongst Jehovah's pretty things that bring honor and glory to him throughout eternity.